Hi, I'm René Echevarria, a writer from Star Trek The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Absolutely stunning. Oh, God. I don't know. It's just making my toes curl a bit. Look at what Picard's doing to Crusher. Now he's putting it in Data's ear.
Program initiated. Enter when ready.
Hello and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Wayne Emery.
Hello, everybody. My name's Jude Hawkins. And, it's a late start for us in the real world recording this, so I think we're going to crack on, unless we think of anything. Basically, we're going to be talking about Voyager tonight, just mine and Wayne's rewatch. We're on season two, so we'll be, like I say, it's a late start, so we'll talk about anything from episode two of season two all the way up until about 10, if we can get that far, but I've got a feeling we won't, which is fine.
We'll see where we get to.
Yeah.
We'll see where we get to. But one thing that I did want to touch on quickly, which was posted on our Facebook page. Rob Hancock shared a link with us this evening. So thanks, Rob, for sending it over. And it's quite possibly the most impressive Star Trek model I have ever seen.
Wow.
Someone has you can like play the little video. Basically
just picture alone that you've sent is excellent. Sorry, yeah. Carry on.
I'll add a link to the description, but you might be able to find it by googling BBC News Star Trek Next Generation Fan Rebuilds Bridge Set. And this guy from Somerset called Jeff Collard, he has spent over 500 hours recreating the Star Trek The Next Generation bridge in like the most insane detail that you could have ever imagined. Whilst he's been in lockdown, he spent that amount of time, and he reckons it's cost roughly about like 17,000 to build. I'm not sure whether he equated that into like hours that he spent as well, but it's so highly detailed that you would think it was either the real sets or CGI.
I did, yeah. Those were my first two thoughts. Unfortunately, that link you just sent me, the thumbnail is what I was judging it on. And as soon as I press it, press play, it plays the sound, but nothing else.
Oh, that's a shame.
So I'm just going to type it into YouTube and put, what did they call it there? Star Trek Bridge in miniature, I'm going to write.
And maybe add Somerset to the...
Somerset, as in the place.
Yeah, because that's where he's from.
Okay.
Or maybe his name. Maybe his name, which is Jeff with a G... Collard, C-O-L-L-A-R-D.
Putting miniature first.
Collard, Star Trek. Yeah, I found it. He's got his own YouTube channel.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's uploaded like a 5-minute video. He's only got like a little, like, he hasn't got anything else on his YouTube channel, really. I'll send you that link now, dude.
Okay, yeah, that'll make sense. It doesn't come up on my YouTube app on the TV when I do that, unfortunately.
No,
so
basically, if you do a YouTube search for Jeff Collard, which is Geoff space Collard Star Trek, it'll be the first result of Star Trek Next Generation D-Bridge walk around with a twist. So...
Is he suddenly just going to have one of the Playmates figures in there or something?
Well, I think what it is he done the full video showing like the full walk around, and then at the end he'll show people that it's a model.
So what we're looking at here, what would fit into this? Like, if you had one of those Playmates, where would they? How would they compare?
I'm really not too sure scale-wise. It probably would fit the Playmates figures. From the outside, it does look that sort of scale. Because even like with the view screen, he's built in like, a screen.
How has he done it? How has he even got the camera in there?
That
if it can't be all the way round, can it?
No. Okay. This is a rich bastard. So... I'm not sure quite.
Seriously, how is his camera in there? It is all the way around. He must be able to take it apart. So, because he stopped filming, there was an edit there. So I think he was filming from, you know, depending on what you call, like the left, you know, mm-hmm. when Captain Picard's looking out, the left side first, where his office mm-hmm. is first. And then he edited it, and now he's doing it from the other side.
Yeah. And just even like the wood effect on like the security panel, like the arch that's above the captain's chair, all of it is in such amazing detail.
There you go, Showmasters and CBS, pay attention.
That's it. I mean,
this is made out of like Kit Kat wrappers and lollipop sticks, and it's better than.
Oh dear! That's it. They need to be giving Jeff a call.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's just so stunning.
So I'm guessing like that view screen has got to be like a tablet or a small TV or something.
And then maybe
the ones on the back wall might be little phones.
It is. I'm not sure about those because I think...
They're working.
Okay, he reckons the scale is 1/15, the scale. So I wonder... what the scale of the Playmates figures are.
So when he says 1/15th, that means of the real bridge.
Of the real bridge. So, and I'm just reading what he had said on the BBC.
You just think, like, what's 1/15th of us? Like, that's going to be...
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Oh, there you go. That gives you a better idea.
Oh, okay. So, no, that he... It never cost him $17,000, but he was saying
it was a laptop. What was obviously the view screen? You could see he had it rested on the top.
Yeah, I don't think the L cars on the back are actually controlled by laptop. I think they are like fairly static, other than certain effects that look like they're moving. So, yeah, it's just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, he comes out of it. It's like all in a sort of wooden box, sort of. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely amazing.
Let's Google it. What?
At the back there, he's got like I can see a light. He's got like something taped, and there's like a really bright light. So
yeah,
I think maybe there might be one phone or something because I could see movement on one of the screens. But I think the rest of it is probably just lit up by a bunch of lights or one big light there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll be watching this video again.
So, okay, wait. Okay.
It looks like he's just done it in his garage by the looks of it.
He said that he would be just working in it and then might be doing it in the living room as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the Playmates figures are 3.75 inches.
You know what you've got to do? I don't know why we're talking like this.
Yeah.
We're doing a bloody podcast in England.
We should contact him.
Contact him. Yeah. Not right now.
No, but just turn around and say, but are you okay recording at 12 at night?
Fuck it, I bet he is. Come on.
Yeah, he probably is, yeah.
Yeah, whether he's like a family man or not, like, especially if he's not, I'm sure he will be.
Oh, no, he's at least got a wife. He mentions her in the in the video.
If she tolerates him doing that, she'll tolerate him doing a podcast at 12 at night.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there's 12 inches in a foot, so 72 inches. Sorry, now I'm doing maths. So 72 divided by 100 times, it was 15, 1/15th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 1/15th, so 15. Okay, so 10.8 inches. Is that right? 10.8. Okay, so 1/5 of us would be 10.8 inches, like height-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem right?
Don't worry about it. Send him a message. We'll get him to answer it himself. Just say,
look, could you put a Playmates figure in there?
Yeah. Oh, seriously, though. I mean, I didn't buy them as a kid. I didn't actually buy them until I was an adult. But can you imagine, like, child Wayne, even though it'd be weird going around an adult stranger's house, like, you don't know.
Come see my bridge, little boy.
But you would love it, wouldn't you, if you could bring your figures around there and have it on there? You'd just be amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you would be playing endlessly.
Oh, hell yeah.
You've told me before about how you and Dom used to create missions and episodes and all sorts. Like, you would definitely be doing it on there.
Oh, that's the thing. Honestly, it would not stop. It would be constant.
Oh, yeah, God, so just think of the things that guy could do now if he wanted, like stop motion and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
just having Captain Picard attacked by Watsits and stuff like that.
Honestly,
giant Watsits.
now the thing is, if I ever did win the lottery, I know exactly who I'm contacting to build my real-life bridge.
Oh yeah, yeah. If he can do that in a bloody box, imagine what he could do,
like, full scale.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Just buy a couple of warehouses, obviously not to rent out, because Paramount CBS are arseholes.
Mm-hmm.
But just for personal use.
Yeah,
just to totally. Podcast from.
That'd be brilliant. That'd be the best Star Trek YouTube podcast ever, like, online.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but no, honestly, so bloody amazing. But
yeah, well done, Jeff.
Jeff Collard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, as Jude said, we've been watching through season 2 of Voyager. Our Patreons would have already heard our opinions on one of the episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, really enjoyed that. What's it called again? The Doctor?
Projections.
Projections, of course. Yeah.
Yes, we've done a real-time review of Projections. and also looking forward to, well, whilst we're recording this, the next episode of Trekmate hasn't gone out yet. That'll be going out in the next day or two of our real-time review of Trekkies.
Yeah, that was very fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing how people felt about that one, because, to be honest, I thought it was good fun just talking away whilst watching something without having...
That's a normal episode for us, isn't it, for the people out there?
Yes.
It wasn't a Patreon. So is that going to go out before this?
It will. Yeah, it will.
There was something I said on that pod, what I just thought I'd bring up now. It's not a big detail, because someone might have been saying it while they were listening to it. I told you that Barbara Adams, I think her name is, the one that wore her stuff in court.
Yes.
And I said that I'd spoken to her online and just said, oh, well done, all that stuff, and just ignore the haters or whatever. I didn't use those words. And you were saying, oh, where did you hear that was happening? It's on the next documentary. That is one of the things that's on Trekkies 2. Like, some of the fans approached, you know, she's talking about that in Trekkies 2.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I knew that some fans had been a bit judgmental about her. So, yeah, just thought I'd bring that up.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm pretty sure, anyway.
I am tempted to do a real-time review of Trekkies 2 soon.
Oh, we have to now. Yeah.
Sooner rather than later, I think.
Yeah.
But also, I did think, should we do a real-time review of the Pawn Trek?
Yeah. Well, you can find the file and send it over.
Just because I haven't watched it and I thought that'd be, fuck, look at what Picard's doing to Crusher. Now he's putting it in Data's ear.
There's actually, I'm sure some people will know and some people just don't want to know. Yeah. There's actually quite a few Star Trek porn parodies or whatever you want to call them out there. More than I expected. I think there's at least like 3 or 4. There's probably more.
It's amazing because it's not something that I've ever really ventured into, like the fan sort of porn versions of franchises.
Mm-hmm.
I just never really delved into it.
It's out there, isn't it? Any big movie that makes big money at the cinema, like mm-hmm. they're making a porn out of it somewhere.
And that's the thing. And there ain't nothing that studios can do because it's parody.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, you just change the names and yeah, off you go.
Yeah, that's it. There's literally nothing you can do because parody is protected, except when it's on YouTube and they'll just give you a copyright strike.
Yeah, for anything these days.
Yeah, fucking YouTube. Because it's funny, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast or not, but I recently discovered a YouTube channel called Star Trek Intakes, which
I don't think so.
Yeah, which is basically someone has taken the outtakes from Star Trek episodes.
You've told me, but I don't think on the pod. I don't think you have.
Yeah, and they've taken the outtakes and then edited them into the episode, so you've got like the full scene, but just with the outtake in the middle and then it cutting back to the normal episode.
Yeah.
And it is some of the most funniest fucking shit.
I watched a bit, but I really want to go back to it. It's just one of those things I forgot about. But yeah, I'll do that.
It's hysterical. And funnily enough, he had put up a post on his YouTube channel that CBS had blocked one of his older videos. And he was worried that he's like, oh, I hope it's not a sign of things to come. And I was like, fucking, just watch it. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. Because his whole channel has like, never been monetized. Well, it's been monetized by CBS the entire time. So it's obvious. It's just something that he does for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS have just started to decide to block his videos.
Oh, yeah. They always find a way to ruin it for people.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Yeah, and it's I just can't stand it, especially when what would wind me up is when we'd do like a video reacting to a trailer and they would block it because the trailer was in a part of the screen, not even all of the screen, and yeah, so I just really do not get it whatsoever.
Sorry for yawning in everyone's ears.
That's all right. Sorry, now I'm just watching some Star Trek intakes and they're just so hysterical.
I'll make sure I watch them so I can discuss them with you a bit more, and hopefully everyone else will have done the same by then, haven't already.
No, it's just the way that on one of them, Data was sitting at the desk. Like telling about a plan.
I can put it on if you really want me to. I can put whichever one you're talking about. I've got it on the TV, so
I just put
Star Trek Intakes.
Yeah, Star Trek Intakes. And his channel is called Ryan's Edits.
Sorry, I'm going as quick as I can on here. Is intakes all one word?
All one word, yeah.
Oh, there we go, it's come up. So Geordi and Worf are in sync, is that it?
No. Geordi and Worf celebrate the rescue. It's okay. Number one. Do that one and then do number two because you're going to need volume on number two. It's just hysterical.
That's the HD version.
Yeah. He was quite glad that the outtakes were also done in HD. Just the way they high five in the background.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to say Troy or Marina, yeah, just like laughing at them.
Yeah. But do number two. And
all right.
Number two. Okay, and we'll leave it at that.
Worf does not play. It's cool. Oh, God.
It works so well.
It does.
Oh dear.
I will definitely get to them at some point.
They're just gold. They're just.
How many has he got up there?
At the moment, he's got 15 up there.
Shit, sorry.
Yeah, he's 15. Got 15 up there.
That and won't he, take long to get through. No, at all, will it?
They're all about a minute long. And it's like number 14 is a Voyager one, and it's the one with the Ferengi. You know, where the three Ferengi have made a population like worship them as gods. And they're about to burn them alive. And this like mob of people are chanting for them to be like sacrificed. Like, send them back, send them back. And then all of the extras just stop awkwardly. So they stop chanting awkwardly for a second and just look at each other. it just carries on. It's quite possibly my favourite thing.
I'll probably watch that tonight now, in fact. But we'll spare everyone doing it again and have silence on the thing. Might have to edit that out even, but we're not talking for a whole minute.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to seem a bit weird.
Oh, so, how have you been finding season two?
Well, I've just got, if Wikipedia is to be believed, mm-hmm. I just found a fact on there, you know, if Wikipedia is to be believed, mm-hmm. which was something I actually said to you. We hadn't properly spoken about the episodes yet. I think it was maybe on the Patreon thing. It would have been on the Patreon where I was saying about the second episode was a lot better than the first and would have mm-hmm. made more sense to be the first episode.
Yeah.
And have the 37s come later on. Either mm-hmm. second episode or much later. It was. Mm-hmm. Episode two was actually episode one, and then they swapped it around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just read that.
I wonder why they changed, made that decision.
I don't know. I have noticed that the 37's episode, which was presented to us as episode one,
mm-hmm.
but was originally episode two, was written by Branham Braga. So his name's coming up in our conversations a lot. And Initiations episode two was by some guy called Kenneth Biller. So,
okay, well,
I had something to do with it.
Okay, considering my all the things that I've heard on other things, we know we like a good Google search on mm-hmm. here. So I'm going to quickly search just to see if what we've been hearing is true. Is Brannon?
I know Braga what you're going to say before you say
a dick.
I was thinking you were going to say prick, but close enough.
Yeah. Okay, no, there's no personal opinions coming up.
Just some pictures.
Yeah, of Brannon Braga's dick.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he go out with Jeri Ryan?
I think so.
Wow. We're going down a hole here, aren't we? We'll...
Braga, go out with Jeri Ryan.
Did he have it away with her?
Ryan. Mulgrew was so awful to Jeri Ryan that she had to date Brannon Braga for protection.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so yeah, it was. Oh, dear. But funnily enough, I watched a... panel that came up in my like recommended thing on YouTube the other day with Jeri Ryan just talking about how horrible Kate Mulgrew was to her.
Okay, Kate Mulgrew wouldn't have been sat next to her at the time, then I'm guessing.
No, she was with Garrett. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, no, I
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they do sit next to each other on panels sometimes, and they always say things like, oh, we worked it out in the end, or we're fine now, aren't we? You know, but you always kind of think, like, I want to know the stuff. Like, tell me the stuff. What, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard little things, but, you know, not Janeway, what's her bloody name?
Kate Mulgrew,
sorry, yeah. Like, resented her for joining the show and you know, the sex appeal stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really heard any of the proper dirt.
No, well, Jeri Ryan was, like, really trying to be as diplomatic as she could while saying that Kate was extremely difficult with her.
Mm.
And would give her such a hard time. And then Garrett Wong started crying about it because he was like, I just want everyone to be friends.
God, wow, I'll have to watch that.
Yeah. So it's.
Oh, I meant to ask you. I meant to tell you before it happened. Mm. But did you watch a video recently of the 25th anniversary of Voyager Skype chat?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
It's not that great. I watched it all the way through and I enjoyed it, but you didn't miss anything, is what I'd say. For any like massive Voyager fans, go watch it, you know.
Yeah.
But you didn't miss anything.
You really didn't learn nothing.
No. No, just for everyone really likes Ethan Phillips and that his name is really John. Didn't know really? That. Ethan is his middle name, yeah. His name's John.
That's
Ethan
just
Phillips.
His stage name.
Oh. Yeah, because they're all just calling him Johnny all the time. Johnny mm-hmm. Ethan Phillips. Yeah, he's got a good sense of humour, Ethan Phillips. He seemed nicer than... When I've seen him at conventions, like, I guess his cues aren't always as big as everyone else. He sometimes looks a bit down.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he seemed, he was cracking jokes and stuff. Bob Picardo dominated a lot of it and was making jokes, but was also just promoting this, that, and the other. I think he must have organized it with these two hosts,
mm-hmm.
Who were putting themselves in it a bit too much for my liking, but it was their YouTube channel. So, and I think that's a thing that they do, these two guys, is have reunions on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just a coincidence that it's the global pandemic or whatever.
Or if that's just something that they do all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah, I will
from
check
me
it out.
To you, from me to you, I'd say like it's like an hour, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say don't bother. But if you want to, go ahead.
Well, no, if it's not worth the time, then...
Nah, he didn't miss anything. I was going to tell you something else. What was it? It's completely gone out of my mind now. Oh, well.
It will come back at some point.
Yeah, it was something Voyager related. Oh, that's it. You were asking me, how do I find season 2? And I would say ups and downs. Like, mm-hmm. there's been some really sort of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I watched last night, episode 10, which we will get to, we'll talk about them all more in detail.
Mm-hmm.
But what's episode 10? It's
Cold Fire. That was the
Cold
return of the
Fire.
Caretaker.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought that was a really good episode. I'd say that's the best episode of season 2 so far.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll come back to that later. But yeah, what I was going to say is when you said how am I finding it, just made me think about the last episode of the Delta Flyers
mm-hmm.
podcast I listened to with Garrett Wong and Robbie Duncan McNeil. I'll just call him Robbie from now on.
Mm-hmm.
How Robbie, he just found some of the episodes. What episode was it? The first one. Where they go into his holodeck simulation in the bar, basically, is whatever that one is.
Sandrine's when he goes. I think that would that be the cloud or the phage?
Yeah, cloud. It sounds like it would be the cloud or, yeah, one of those anyway. But like he just starts going on about how, you know, he doesn't like how sort of sexist and all that sort of stuff that Tom Paris is. And I understand that. But then he, you know, starts talking a lot, and so does Garrett Wong as well, joins in, how sort of like racially insensitive like the writers were and on Star Trek, even though they're trying to do the right thing with their stories and stuff like that. And that's always been there, that effort to do that. And you've got to always respect like Gene Roddenberry and the people that came after him. But, you know, they both express how ignorant like people like Brandon Braga, surprise, surprise, were when it came to just the like small details, you know, the fact that Robert Beltran is an American with Mexican parents, but like, yeah, he's portraying a Native American, and how basically how Harry Kim, the surname Kim, is Korean, I guess.
Yes.
But the character is portrayed as a Chinese man.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how I remember him as well, because they constantly reference it.
Yeah, but, which in that show, Garrett turns around and says, like, he never thought that he was Chinese. He always thought he was Korean.
He did what we do, where he tries to be positive about it, and he didn't want to rock the boat at the time, I guess.
Yeah, but Robbie Duncan McNeil was like, no, you keep making Chinese references. You keep saying, like, oh, ancient Chinese proverb.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
And
so,
he's right, because I've seen it come up multiple times now in season two as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just been banging around in my head. So, like, when I was watching Tattoo the other night, I was just like, oh, God, I don't know. It's just making my toes curl a bit. The way that you can tell that nearly all of those actors are Mexican. And then they had, like, the sky... not sky pirates, like the sky gods or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And like most of those people were just white Americans, I guess, you know. I don't know, just those bits. And with all the shit that's going on in the world, you know, outside of COVID pandemic, like all the racism stuff, I just felt a bit awkward for a few episodes, especially Tattoo.
It's something that listening to their podcast has certainly made me think about things slightly differently.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, it's, what would you call it? Not misrepresentation. I suppose it would be misrepresentation, but...
To a degree, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what you would call it.
Robbie, says on their podcast how... He's kind of plugging his new show, what he's doing, but at the same time, you know, he's being honest when he says like he's a big part of the making of it, and they don't cast anyone unless they are what they're playing. They just refuse to do it because they don't think it's right.
And also, he said like he's got a Native American character on that, and they do like the most in-depth research to make sure that it is culturally accurate. And also not coming out with like some of the stuff that Star Trek does, but he does. He turns around and says like we were all there. We all never argued. He just said it was a different time, and things weren't. And he just says that like you can tell that the show is written by white guys trying to think how would.
Speaking of that, actually, it didn't come up in their podcast, but I was reading something somewhere the other day, because it's one of those questions where what I always have, but I more sort of laugh about it. I even brought it up recently. I can't remember if it was on Patreon or normal, but you know, I've said in the past, did Jerry Ryan really need to wear that suit? Like, what was the explanation? But like now, I read, or someone said, I don't know where it was, but it's supposed to be curing a skin or whatever from all the Borg, you know. But it's like, well, why is her face absolutely fine then, if that's the case?
I don't know if it's and ever actually if, justified.
And even if I was to believe that, it's like, did it really take 4 years?
Yeah,
to get it back to normal, even though it took, it literally took a couple of days or 24 hours or less for her face to be normal. absolutely fine, apart from the eyebrow thing.
And the thing is, you can't turn around and say it's like, oh, that's what she's comfortable with. Because it's like, before she was a Borg, she was a kid. And kids just like to be comfy. So, she would have wanted jeans and T-shirt.
I think Jeri Ryan, at every single Voyager panel she's ever been in, is always going to be telling you how she hated being in that suit and how uncomfortable it was and how she had to starve herself and couldn't drink and all this crazy stuff, you know, just to have this role in a TV show. Oh my God, sorry, I just got distracted by something on the TV. I've just got a wrestling show on, like, I've just gotten into watching old wrestling shows because they've actually got fans there and it's like normal times. So there's just a guy in the front row, so fat, he's like the size of four people. Just sorry, just distracted me.
Don't worry. Me and Fez, we appreciate your disgust.
I didn't say I was disgusted. I was just distracted. Just like, wow.
Oh dear. No, it is funny because you do have to give certain leeways to shows that are made in this point in time, and that's like what you even have to do it with Next Generation. Not funnily enough, not so much with Deep Space Nine. Not at all with Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I think
Nine,
it's
really.
What we always say, because they were regarded as like, oh, don't worry about them. No one cares about DS9. Just let Ira and his mates do whatever they want. You know, these are the ones what matter over here. These are the ones that the TV stations care about and who the big bosses care about. You know, let Ira and friends muck around on DS9. And I still say it turned out to be the best one because of that. Because they were allowed to say, like, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. You know, we'll do this. This is how characters work. This is how war works. This is how real life works, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. I think, and they probably had, like, I don't want to say it because there's probably, obviously there's plenty of progressive people involved in all aspects of Star Trek, but Deep Space Nine probably did have the most progressive, not only cast, because you got to think it's the only cast where, like, the main character and his son, are both black males, portraying like a cohesive family unit that isn't at dispute with each other at all. And there's just everything is represented extremely well within the
really
Deep Space
strong
Nine.
Female characters as well. I'd argue more so than Voyager, even though you've got plenty of female actors in Voyager, like, you know, are they Major Kira, you know, are they Dax? You know, they don't do some of the things that those guys do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And you just have to, with my rewatch with Voyager, it's like anything. I'm just judging it on what it is and
maybe I'll be saying it differently as I'm going through, because I've conveniently forgot most of Voyager at this point, which is nice. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah,
it feels new when I'm watching most of it. Yeah, like I was saying, episode 10, whatever it's called, I've forgotten already. I got it in front of Cold Fire. I thought that was fantastic last night. I was like, how did I forget this? This is really good.
Yeah,
so much going on in that episode. But anyway, yeah. Should we just start going through some of the episodes, no matter how fast or slow we go?
Yeah, no worries. So as you said, we started out with the 37s, which kind of felt a bit like the episode I was telling you about from the season one of TNG.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
People
very
from
similar.
The past. Yeah, but this time round, it's not people that have willingly put themselves in stasis. It's people that have been abducted by aliens.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't know if when I was watching that episode, they were going to say, like, oh, they'd flown into the Bermuda Triangle or something. But no, they'd been abducted against their will.
Yeah.
Not really knowing what happened. But yeah, I'll just say that episode, it's all right. I know there's lot of things that people don't like about it, but it didn't bother me.
No.
I got a kick out of seeing Tackleberry from Police Academy, even firing a handgun, just like Tackleberry would, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. No, I didn't dislike it at all. Then we went on to Initiations, which starred Aaron Eisenberg.
That's right. Yeah, he did really well in this. You can tell it's Nog. You can just tell by his face, even through both makeups on both shows, and his voice. But he did a great job. Really good job.
And also, it's a really good showing for Chakotay as well.
It is, yeah. Like, I've judged Chakotay in the past, but this time round, I'm really enjoying him. And like you say, that one was a good episode for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shows what he's made out of and shows what a good guy he is and how Starfleet he is and stuff. And really good interactions between those two characters, which took up most of the episode.
Yeah, which I'm glad about, because the Kazon do get a bad rap, but within this episode, within the context of this episode, it works for me personally.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Best Kazon appearance so far, I'd say. Well, you weren't just thinking, oh, who are these Wurzel Gummidges from space, as Mark used to call them.
Yeah, yeah, no, too true. Then we have Projections, which we spoke in great detail about on our Patreon exclusive podcast.
If you want to hear what we said and you don't do it already, it's $1 a month.
Yeah,
just go
$1 a month. For at the moment, we're going to be trying to put out 2 episodes a month on the Patreon feed.
And so I'll just give him a credit, because we keep accidentally bashing him. That was written by Brannon Braga.
Yeah. Yeah,
directed by Frakes, which is some really cool direction on that episode. But yeah, written by Brannon Braga, so well done him on that one. Yeah.
Elogium.
Let me fire this one up.
Elogium was the episode where they discover the tiny new space dwelling life forms that end up getting attracted to Voyager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one we nearly did for Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like, I don't feel comfortable doing that one, actually, because I just would have ended up making jokes at Jennifer Lien's expense. So I just feel bad.
Because that was at the same time, Kes ends up going through menstruation, I guess, but it turns out that the Okumpa only are able to get pregnant once in their life.
It was a really horny episode at times, this one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Like, whether it's aliens trying to hump the ship or, Kes eating random shit because she's...
That was gross. Some really funny and gross visuals with Kes on that. And just the conversations between her and Neelix, just, oh god, they did well to, oh, I don't know, it's just weird. They really painted a picture for you, like, this is gonna happen.
Yeah,
but then it didn't in the and then it makes people like us, like me and you, think, like, have they not had sex?
No, they haven't. Sex? Well, that's the thing. In that case, if she's by this point, she made the decision that she wanted to have children and she wanted Neelix to father them. So it gave me the impression that they haven't had sex.
Yeah, yeah. It was inferred that they hadn't, because it's like he's getting excited about it, excited but nervous and worried about it at the same time. Like, he was planning on doing it later, but he hadn't expected to be doing it now, but he had to sort of talk himself into it. I think that was partly because of the the pregnancy that it would have caused, but
mm-hmm.
It makes you then ask the questions, well, if that's the case, does Neelix have like Kes holo programs or whatever where he goes and, you know.
Well, maybe he's just that much of a nice guy.
I don't know. I'm not sure I buy it.
Because the thing is, right, and also the only thing I would say with that is the conversations that I had as well is he turns around and says to her, but you're too young.
Mm.
So if now he thinks that she's too young to bear a child.
Yeah, why does he act like he does so much?
Yeah.
Why does he see her as his trophy wife sort of thing rather than his little sister?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's slight contradictions on that front because he's like, no, you're too young to have child, but still suck me off, will you?
Yeah.
It's not illegal till there's penetration. it's really.
I have stuff going on the holodeck. I'm sure of it.
I don't know, because the thing is, I do like Neelix, so
I want to like Neelix, but I find it hard.
Yeah.
To like him as much as some others do.
Yeah.
I don't want to hate him either. You know, I want to like him.
Yeah. I try to ignore the relationship between him and Kes as much as I can, because to be honest, I think both characters work better away from each other.
Neelix and Kes?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was half listening to you, but I was clicking onto the next episode just to see what it was about. And
mm-hmm.
But yes, I would agree with that. Great stuff with Kes and the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. So the next episode is Non Sequitur.
I watched this episode, I nearly text you when I was watching it, but it must have been about midnight. So I was just like, nah, I can't do that to him. I can't text him this time at night. And I just didn't bother to the next day. But my thing, what I nearly text was like, oh my God, just watch this episode. How much of a fucking loser is Harry Kim? What the hell is wrong with that guy?
He's always cock blocking himself.
To the biggest, most massive degree. How could you do that? So this episode, he's he's supposed to be in a runabout or whatever, isn't he?
He has an accident where he's like come across, I don't know, some interdimensional jetty sort of thing that's thrust him into a parallel universe where
timeline, if you will, isn't there?
Yeah. So
like Back to the Future style almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's woke up on Earth.
I tell you what's a massive plot hole though. Unlike Back to the Future, where is the Harry Kim from that fucking timeline? He's done all this different stuff.
Yeah.
So where the hell is that Harry Kim? Why is he sleeping in that apartment?
I would like to think that Harry Kim swapped bodies with the Harry Kim on the shuttlecraft.
And if you're right about that, why the fuck does Harry do everything he does in this episode? Good. It's not right. I shouldn't be here with my girlfriend who I've been thinking about every night for the... Who cares, Harry? I want to be back on Voyage. Why?
You'd be like, oh.
Such a loser, mate.
Yeah, most people would be like, oh, I've really dodged a bullet.
Like you've not seen your girlfriend in months and you've turned down like all these other women. You'd be like, oh, tonight we're going to break the bedpost or whatever, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And the thing is, I'd turn around, I'd go to Starfleet Command, I'd just be like, look, just so you know, I've come from an alternate reality. Voyager is on the other side of the galaxy. Let everyone's families know that they're making their way home. But I ain't going back.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Let everyone know.
Yeah, the other Harry's not here, so I presume he's there. So, you know.
No, but the thing
off
is.
Off you go, you guys try and find him, them, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, to get back, they steal his prototype runabout and have to recreate the accident to get back as well on this magical space like Jesse, that he knows how to find one in like Earth's system as well. But in doing so, he's really fucked everyone over, because it's one of them things that it would have been a parallel timeline. So that timeline probably still exists, because we already know that parallel universes exist within the Star Trek ethos. Mm-hmm. So by making sure that he got home, he killed that Harry Kim and that Tom Paris to make sure
Tom
that
Paris. And Tom Paris, just because he's got a little bit depressed and had a few drinks, it's like, yeah, I deserve to die.
Yeah, fuck it.
You know, like, I didn't go with Janeway and I've had a few drinks in this Paris bar. It's like, it's all right, Tom. You're only fucking 23, mate. You know, you can stop drinking. You can and do your holosuite stuff. Like, chill out. It's like, no, I've got to die for this Harry Kim so he can go and live a more depressing life. Like, you don't. No, you don't, Tom.
If Tom had thought about it,
you don't even know this guy.
Because
he could be making this up.
His whole thing was, well, no, if I can have a better life, I'd rather have a better life on Voyager. He isn't thinking, well, that's probably an alternate reality, so I'm probably still going to just be here. So by making sure that Harry got home, he killed himself and Tom.
Who would do that? You just wouldn't. Yeah, I enjoyed the episode, but yeah, it just made me sort of scream at the TV, like, what the hell? This is ridiculous. Yeah. It's like, it even made me think, like, what would he do if he went back to a world where World War II hadn't happened or something? Would he be like, oh, this isn't right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd just accept it. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, this is different, but, you know, that a bad thing was avoided there. But it's like, nope, no, everything's got to be just right, just as it was. No, it doesn't. I'm getting worked up.
He should definitely work for that time police that show up later down the line, where they insist on putting everything back.
But I've said a few times when we've been speaking about Voyager, I like Chakotay and B'Elanna a lot more now than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Kim is just working the opposite way. Every time he gets like a Harry Kim episode, I'm just like, oh, you are a loser, Harry. your lack of promotion through seven series is justified.
You're not like a wizard, Harry. You're a loser, Harry.
I could just imagine Janeway going back to her room, just going like, you know, he tries hard, he's a good boy, but God, is he a loser? Is he a suck up? I'm never promoting him.
Yeah, she probably takes the piss every time that she's having a drink with Chakotay.
Now going back on what I said on our Patreon thing, where there's a dead crewman on the bridge, and she's just like, ah, don't worry about it, to the doctor. That was Harry now, as far as I'm concerned.
Janeway just didn't care.
Yeah. Sod him.
Oh dear.
He'll find a way to bring himself back somehow.
He always does. Oh dear. So the next episode was Twisted, which is the episode where Voyager encounters an energy field that kind of twists up Voyager inside. So
they would just die, surely, in that. Like, when they're saying, like, oh, this is over here, be like, well, so would you be, wouldn't you? Like, you'd be getting crushed and all sorts. But yeah, it felt very sort of dated, the effects and just the idea of the episode to me.
See, really, I quite enjoyed that episode.
You can enjoy it, but I'm just saying it's silly.
Oh, like, it is silly.
I don't know my science, you know, like, I can poke some plot holes, like, obviously, loads of stuff in Star Trek wouldn't happen in real life, but that one just seemed like, really?
But also, the only thing I would say is that at the end of the episode, they say that it's, like, it was a means of whatever it is communicating with them, because they uploaded all of Voyager's databanks and downloaded Voyager's, like, downloaded everything that they knew to Voyager's computers as well. So they never expand on that. They never actually use that later on down the line to turn around and say, like, oh, we know this is here because of Mystery Twisty Cloud.
Yep.
So there's no sort of payoff for
them. I like the moment at the end where they're all sort of accepting that they might die. I thought that was quite nice with, I think, like, Tom probably putting his hand on Harry's shoulder.
And Chakotay and Chakotay.
Holding hands,
I really like that moment. It kind of reminds me of the end of Toy Story 3, where they're all just waiting to drop into the furnace.
Oh, right, yeah, I was thinking of Toy Story 4 for a second. Yes, yeah, that's right.
Or they all just accept their ultimate demise.
Yeah, no, I like moments like that in things. I think, you know, really sad moments can be great endings, but obviously they were okay anyway because it was Tuvok's idea to, you know, just chill, just go with it, and we might be all right. And yeah, he's right.
Tuvok is just like, well, we've tried everything.
Yeah.
Now, and since this is the focal point, like the center of the ship, and we're all being drawn back here, it's funny that none of the other crew are here, but still, just the main cast, that'll do.
Yeah. It had me thinking of those YouTube shows, Lower Decks or whatever, you know, like those people just saying, like, why do they always fucking exclude us?
Yeah.
What's so special about those seven? What have they got what we haven't?
Yeah, exactly. You can't tell me that Harry Kim has got anything on me.
Exactly. Yeah, there's got to be, like, at least five or six other people that do the same job as him on that ship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Okay, so the next episode then was Persistence of Vision, which I've skipped one. Parturition?
This is the one
where Neelix and Paris get stuck on the planet together after fighting over Kes.
This felt like a very sort of something straight out of TNG, strangely enough, directed by Jonathan Frakes, written by Thomas E. I can't pronounce his name. Thomas E. something. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the little puppet baby. I enjoyed the interactions between Tom and Neelix. Thought it was funny.
About this episode is also the possibility that this could signal the end of Jealous Neelix.
Yeah, I thought that was good too.
Yeah, exactly, because now Tom's like, I do want to bang Kes, but I like you, so I won't.
Yeah, no, I thought that was nice. That was a good bit of character building for Tom as well, you know.
Yeah,
you know, he's not a complete I didn't think he was a complete arsehole, but yeah, it's showing it there that he's not.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, yeah, she is. I fancy her. And Neelix is like, yeah, well, she is a very attractive woman. I never touch her, though. She's underage. I never touch her.
Rose Moore as well.
Yeah, so that. Suddenly forgetting that she's like too young to bear a child, so you shouldn't be going anywhere near her. But it's a fine episode for me.
Oh, the alien, the baby's mum looked weird at the end though. I wish they'd done more with that. Like, the face just looked messed up. Like, I know it happens a few times on Star Trek, but I didn't like the way that you can see the actor's lips underneath the sort of beak type thing. I think they could have done a better job.
I didn't pay attention to that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the character was only, you know, the person was only on the screen for a short time. But I just wish that, I wish they could have made them, like, walk a bit more strangely as well. Mm-hmm. I know most of the humanoid aliens of Star Trek all walk like humans, but I just think with that one, they could have had them, I don't know, hunched over somehow.
Yeah, at least a little. I know what you mean. Just not quite a normal sort of walk. Maybe like flapping its arms.
Maybe, yeah.
acting like what was the wrestler called that came out of the egg at WrestleMania? Yeah, the gobbledygook.
I met him technically.
Have you? Who was it? Yeah, I can't remember who played.
It's Hector Guerrero, one of Eddie Guerrero's older brothers.
Yeah.
I met him in a toilet.
Did you shake his hand?
No, I didn't. I think I just shouted his name at him like you do with people sometimes, just like, Hector! Or something like that.
And he's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Why is it always in a toilet?
Do the gobbledygooker! We could use the toilet paper for feathers.
Oh, dude, this is a joke for two people.
Yeah. Or four if Bez and JD are actually tuned in.
They won't listen. They won't listen.
JD does listen sometimes, though, doesn't he?
He does sometimes, yeah, to be fair. Sometimes he does. Oh, so
Persistence of Vision, the one you were eager to get onto.
Yes.
Episode 8.
Oh, mate, right at the beginning of this episode, they start with the bloody nanny holodeck program.
Oh, yeah.
My first thoughts as soon as that episode starts, like, oh, shit, I'm here already.
Yeah.
And
I think I had the same thing.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't want to watch this. And then sat down, and it was an episode that I enjoyed a lot more than I was expecting, because it isn't the one where like the holodeck program goes wrong and whatnot and like the kid dies and that. It's instead Janeway starts hallucinating, and
in fact everyone does eventually.
Yeah, eventually everyone does. So yeah, and see,
apart from the doctor, obviously.
Apart from the and Kes. No, Kes does eventually.
Kes is the last one too, yeah.
Yeah. Once again, building the whole thing of Kes having mental abilities that aren't quite being harnessed yet. So there's an alien species who's a telepath.
This alien guy just wants to mess with them, I think, basically, isn't it? Has he got a real goal other than just to screw around with them?
I assumed his goal was to take the ship.
Yeah, the last thing on Wikipedia is just a telepathic bofa mm-hmm. confesses to having caused the disturbance simply because he could. I remember him saying that now, something along those lines.
Yeah, but what was he going to do? I assumed he wanted to take the ship. My whole thing would have been he was going to kill everyone and just steal their tech.
He could have been up to dirty things. I don't know. You know, if he can project himself in that way, he could project himself in any way, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he was projecting himself as, doesn't that even happen?
What?
Or is it a different episode?
No, he was projecting himself as like all different people, and like what he was giving people the hallucinations.
B'Elanna shags Chakotay.
Yeah, that's in this one. Yeah.
So is he shagging B'Elanna?
Well, he's giving her the hallucination of it in her head. So...
Yeah, but in the end of the episode, like he is one of the hallucinations.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like he is Neelix.
Well, no,
that's
I
it.
Think...
He's Neelix, and Kes like pushes him away, and then the captain says like, "Oh, we got you now." And then he turns. Isn't that it?
That is it in the end. I don't think he was manifested in all of the hallucinations. He was causing them.
Why are you sticking up for him?
No.
is he your friend? But he didn't do it, all right? He's a good bloke. He just likes to have a laugh.
That's it.
He's innocent.
It was Greg that does the creepy shit. Yeah, no, I know. I think it was him in the sense of he would have been in control of those hallucinations. But whether it was a physical manifestation of him there. I don't think so, because most of the crew, the hallucinations cause them to just like freeze in place where they are.
Yeah, you're right actually. Yeah, I forgot about that. Most of the people are just standing there, aren't they, during the hallucinations. Tell you what though, what that did make me think is, and this comes up on the Delta Flyers podcast sometimes, the writers are kind of like inconsistent with how different people feel about each other. Like, I hadn't realized that the writers had originally intended for Tom Paris and Janeway to be a thing. But they kind of ditched that in episode one, like immediately. And then it seemed like at times, several times, like they're trying to infer that Chakotay and Janeway are going to become a thing. But then in this one, and I guess the episode before, they're making it seem like B'Elanna has feelings for Chakotay, which I didn't feel or notice that in any of the previous episodes, only if she respected him and stuff, but not that she wanted to shag him. So it just, they just seem a bit all over the place with that stuff sometimes.
And then eventually Chakotay and Seven out of nowhere.
Yeah. And obviously there's B'Elanna and Tom, but I bet there's more, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, Seven, they're supposed
Seven
to be...
Seven and the Doctor.
But it's more one way, isn't it, with them?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Doctor fancying Seven and not following it through.
Does Neelix ever want to go with anyone or go with anyone after Kes? Or is he just asexual after she goes?
I don't... Not unless he hits on Wildman's mum.
He's still got... Oh, yeah, she became pregnant in that episode. We've got to say that.
Yeah.
It was revealed that she was pregnant. I don't know if the alien things encouraged it to happen, because she said that she she did it on DS9 with her husband or boyfriend or whatever.
It was her husband. They had been trying for years.
Oh, also, while we're mentioning DS9, I like the fact that in that Harry Kim episode, that Tom Paris mentions Odo and Quark, not by neither of them by name, but just said that Quark had offered him those jewels that day that it originally offered Harry, and he just said, a nasty shapeshifter locked me up.
Yeah.
I just got a kick out of that. I thought that was cool.
Any reference to Deep Space Nine is appreciated.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we've pretty much covered that, persistence of vision. So, yeah, Tattoo, we touched on it earlier on, is all Chakotay. They've gone down to a planet for whatever reason. The planet, the sky gods or whatever, like, don't want them to come down. They're trying to prevent them, so they have to go down in a runabout. And he ends up on his own eventually, and he keeps having flashbacks to when he was a kid, and it was his dad, isn't it? He's trying to get him to embrace his
heritage.
Native American, his heritage.
And also he finds symbols and that on this alien planet that are the same as what his tribe used to use on Earth from his ancestors.
There's things I liked about it and things I didn't, which I've already said some of them, you know, just because stuff's been brought up and it was just in my head.
I'm glad that after like listening to their podcast, finding out that Chakotay's tribe was entirely made up, so it's not like they're trying to make out that like some like Native American tribe's god is
I guess that's a good thing. Yeah
So I'm glad that they did use a made up a tribe for him, because then that would have been really culturally insensitive. Because I know Star Trek's all about like humanism and everything, but really you don't want to piss on too many people's fire.
No, you don't. I think that pretty much covers it for that episode for me. I've not got much more to say about it unless you want to.
I'm glad that I got to see naked Chakotay.
I was just going to say that, yeah. Like, tempted to ask him, like, was that you? Was that a stunt bum?
Yeah, he's got a nice bum.
Yeah. I presume that was him.
I would assume so.
I was surprised to see it, actually.
I would like to think so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, other than that, no, there's not really too much to say about Tattoo.
Nah.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I'd say for me it was an all right episode. But as you said, like, after listening to Robbie's statements and that, it brings a lot of different thoughts into, like, the thought process.
It does, yeah. I'm not moaning at them, but, you know, that knowledge spoiled it for me, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. And that's the thing. That's when I also, like, looking at this episode, it was like, yeah, it's of its time. It's not, like, you wouldn't make it nowadays.
No. But, so we're finally at Cold Fire, which I keep talking about and saying I think this was the best of season two so far, and I'm sticking with that. So it all is about Kez, really.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow find out that, I can't remember how they first find out, but going to be another caretaker.
No, in the pilot, the caretaker does say to them before dying. Yeah, that his partner had left and wanted to explore the galaxy. So there was another caretaker out there. And then at the beginning of the episode, his remains start jiggling about.
They do a good recap, don't they, with Major Barrett saying, previously. And then you have the jiggling rock. And then they realise that the rock has the same properties or whatever, and then work out that, oh, it's that direction.
And then they basically meet up.
Yeah. Then they meet up with the actor who plays the main Vulcan in Enterprise. I like that actor. Yeah. Can't remember his name.
Yeah, no, because I know as soon as it took me like 10 minutes to figure out, I was like, I know this actor. I know this actor. I know it's from Star Trek.
He's also in some of the fan films and some dodgy film I watched last year, which also has Jeffrey Combs as an extra.
Oh, okay.
It's like that Pacific Rim film. Not that I've ever seen it, but like the 80s version. A bit like Power Rangers as well, I guess, where they get in like a robot and they have like robot wars, big robot wars. It's really crap. Like the storyline sounds like something that we would love, but it's not a big budget. I can't remember what it's called.
But do you know what? That might be a thing. Like, if one of us ever wins a lottery as well, that might be a thing to just like make a really shit film just as an excuse to spend time with
Jeffrey Combs. No, if I was a millionaire, I someone like him, you know, I lick his bum so much because I think he's an amazing actor, and I think he deserves so much more credit from the people that could be hiring him. Like, everything I've seen him do, apart from his extra work in that film, which, like I say, why did they just have him as an extra? It's just crazy. Because he'd already done stuff at that point. But no, yeah, if I was a millionaire, billionaire, I'd go to him and I'd say, look, you must have loads of ideas of things that you'd like to do in movies. What do you want to do? What can we make with this budget?
Or just turn around and go to like different independent filmmakers that have made like really good stuff and be like, look, I'll fund your next project, but the lead has to be Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be really fun.
I'll give you the $2 million that you need. However,
I'd get a whole bunch of ex Star Trek actors if I had crazy money. Like Scott Bakula would be one as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
If he's available, you're getting him in there. And I'm talking about acting now, not just because I like the Star Trek characters they play, you know, because I think they're really good actors, which I couldn't say for all of them.
I think, you know, if
a lot of them do their job, but I don't think of them as great actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like Michael Dorn, for example. I don't think of him as a great actor, but he does his job.
Yeah.
Shit, I only just noticed it's like 6 minutes past 2 in the morning.
So, yeah, this episode, it's
good. Yeah. It's a very good episode. So much stuff going on, like people being suspended from the air, blood dripping out of their nose, Neelix being thrown across the room, Kes embracing her powers, like starting fires. When she's boiling the coffee cup and then looks up at Tuvok and like she's burning him from the brain outwards, and like his nose is bleeding, his face is puffing up. Loads of horror type stuff. You know, we were talking about that recently, saying that that's always been there. And the caretaker herself, where she's portraying herself as a little girl and being really creepy. And I remember thinking at that moment, they should have got the same actor that does the stupid kids in Janeway's nanny program. It would have worked for the dialogue, for because we were saying they're so creepy.
There's nothing more those creepy than episodes. Kids in space.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But I couldn't fault this episode at all anywhere. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely well acted from everyone involved. I enjoy the fact that we get a little bit more depth on the Urkampans as well.
Mm-hmm. My final thought when watching this episode was just like, shit, why do they have to get rid of Kes? Like, this is really good here. Like, this is going somewhere. I've said that in the past, but yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that that comes definitely does.
So is she in there for most of season three, or is
she's
it
there
just
for all of season three?
Oh, good. Okay.
She's there for all of season three, and I believe it's the first two episodes of season four.
And then she just is some sort of lame sacrifice, isn't it? It's not like some grand thing. It's just some like...
No, it's like she comes... It's either the first or second episode of season four where like the Voyager is about to be destroyed by the Borg, and her powers start... like becoming too much and she can't control them, and then she's like, and here's my parting gift for you, and sends them so many thousand light years past where they were.
It may as well be the bloody end to Poochie from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I must return to my home planet.
Yeah,
I must go now. Woo.
It is this.
It's not fair.
No, it's not fair. It is the second episode of season four. So they keep her about for two episodes of season four before shipping her off. So she got to like meet the person that was kicking her out the door.
Yeah.
So it's fucking... Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good. But that episode, a real highlight of Jennifer Lien's capabilities.
Definitely.
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. So
yeah, I wish she... Well, I was going to say, I wish she's still around. She's still around, but I wish she, you know, could have gone on to bigger and better things instead of... Oh, well.
Yeah. No, exactly. And yeah, no, it is a shame. It is a shame because I think you never know how life plays out. It might have been very different for her if she did stick around for all seven seasons. You never know. But still, yeah, I think, as you said, it's now 2:10 in the morning, so I think we should start wrapping up.
I agree. Yeah, perfect time to stop. And yeah, I've enjoyed that. I don't know how long we've been recording.
Hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So people are fed up of us now anyway.
They've had enough already.
Yeah.
So... at some point, probably when we get to the end of season two, we'll discuss it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much point discussing it beforehand, but yeah, no, we'll discuss Voyager again at the end of season two, see how our rewatch is going.
Yeah.
But all in all, yeah, once again, I'm still enjoying Voyager.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm really happy about it. I've said to you and on the pod, like, I've kind of just stopped doing my DS9 rewatch, which I'm not bothered about that because it's not going anywhere. But I just, if I only watch one Trek episode a day, which is usually the case at the moment, it's going to be Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really learned to enjoy it, you know, even take the bad ones as well, just take them as they come and not skip anything.
No. Well, and that's the thing. You've got to take the bad with the good as well. And to be honest, there isn't anything that's too bad at the moment.
No.
Yeah, so it's and I know I'm always saying it, but after just coming off of season one of TNG, it's made me a lot more receptive.
Yeah.
So I'm only four episodes away from finishing season two of TNG now as well. So.
And I always say the same at the moment. Same with me with the newer Trek, where that's what I'm comparing it to, like with my disappointment with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think I definitely will revisit Discovery at some point, but I think
I'm not completely down on it. I feel like it's my duty to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be biased,
but I certainly ain't going to prioritize it before another Enterprise or TOS rewatch.
No me neither.
Yeah, so it's and also I don't think, from my memory, I don't think I've ever 100% done the animated series either.
I saw that the other day just pop up on Netflix, and I thought that to myself, like, I need to rewatch that. Like, I think I've watched the whole thing once and that's mm-hmm. it, but I think I maybe didn't even watch them properly. Sometimes may have been doing something else at the same time.
Yeah,
just like let myself impression. Get distracted. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that impression from my memories of it as well. So I think
a bit like the real TOS, really.
Yeah, well, certainly season three TOS as well, because season one and two I gave it my full attention. Season three, I can't even think of. I can't remember half of season three.
Be another good thing actually for watch-alongs, whatever you want to call them, real time reviews and stuff.
Yeah,
to do that, even if we can't remember it, we'll just say, right, let's just watch it. We can't remember this, but let's go.
Yeah,
we did it once, I think. Didn't we? Did we do a real-time review for it, or did we just talk about one?
I think we just talked about it, which was yesteryear.
Yeah,
which was yesteryear. So yeah, it'll be. I think we should definitely. If I would like to get listeners' opinions, like if you feel like the real-time review sort of format does work okay, then yeah, I would like to do some more real-time reviews as well, just throw them in every so often.
People like them. I enjoy it.
Yeah, well no, fuck it, even if they don't enjoy it, we'll do it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what
especially
we do
if you can't think of anything else.
Exactly. I'm pretty certain I want to do Trekkies 2 again in the next week or two.
Yeah, after we did the first one, it just makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the end of this episode for this week. If you want to get in touch, tweet us at trekmate1701 or email trekmate1701@gmail.com or grab us on Facebook. So I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins, and that was Trekmate.
May I introduce the next generation of interstellar propulsion, the Quantum Slipstream Drive.
You're encased in ice. You're stuck in the ice from up above. Kimmy gave some bad advice. Someday he'll pay the price, I know. A glitch in the drive, a dangerous stunt. Harry's idea with the shuttle in front. Buried in time, Harry wants it right. Recruited Chakotay to join in his fight.
I've got an idea. It's tricky, but I think it could work. What we need is someone in a shuttle to ride the rapids in front of Voyager.
Yes.
Voyager's encased in ice. The doctor, he helps with their plan. Can you 7 of 9 cranial implant time, you know? The temporal transmitter take us back in time. Make things right, leave the past behind. Rescue the crew. Fly. Too bad that those guys both have to
doctor to give me the temporal coordinates.
Just a few more minutes.
Speed it up. We've got a galaxy-class starship on our tail.
I'm working as fast as I can.
You know that they are.
To the Starship Challenger. You seem to be in quite a hurry.
You could say that.
Why don't you shut down those impulse engines, drop your shields? Let's talk about this face to face.
Mind if I take a rain check?
As a matter of fact, I do. We know what you're about to attempt, and we can't let that happen. So the Federation Council is willing to make you an offer.
Listening to the Trekmate podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.